We sing our gathering hymn, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee." Please rise. Congregation may be seated. Good morning. And welcome to announcements this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the back of the bulletins. I do have a couple of things to highlight. One is that Sunday school classes have resumed. The children and youth will start in the basement. Beverly Feller's adult Sunday school class will be here in the annex. And Bill Claverman's adult Sunday school class will begin next week, and that will be in the chapel in the educational building. The church office is open once again, and the hours are posted there in the bulletin announcements and also on the office door. Drive-through Holy Communion will continue. We have shortened the time slightly. We are still out there immediately after the worship service on Sunday mornings, and we will be out there until 10:20. And then also coming up on Halloween, the Christian Life Committee is sponsoring a trick-or-treat drive-through for the community. If you have kids and you want a few goodies, come on by the church, and it will be over here in the drive-thru at the elevator parking lot. And I think that's all I have. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Anybody else have announcements? Okay. Then we continue with the greeting and dialogue. Please rise once again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You are the treasured people of the Lord. Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. You may be seated.
The first lesson is taken from the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and I begin reading with the first verse. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in the secret places, so that you may know that this is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen. I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I am you, though you do not know me, so they may know me from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness, I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalm 96 responsively, beginning with the first verse. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth.
Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols. But it is the Lord who made the heavens.
O Lord, have seen the magnificence of his presence, O the power and the splendor of his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord your families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name.
Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him.
Till the God among the nations, the Lord is king. He has made the world so firm that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples equanimity.
Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the fields be joyful in all that is therein. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. The second lesson is taken from 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 1. Paul and Silvius and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father, your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned God to God from idols to serve a living true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one, For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, Whose head is this, and whose title? They answered, The emperor's. Then he said to them, Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. May be seated, and I think we have a children's sermon this morning.
Good morning, children. Good morning, parents. I hope everyone is doing well. I have a question for the kids here in the sanctuary. Have any of you ever seen the movie Cars? If you've seen the movie Cars, go ahead and raise your hand so I can see it. Grandparents and parents, have you also ever watched the movie Cars? Okay. So in the movie Cars, Lightning McQueen gets a speeding ticket in Radiator Springs, and as punishment, he has to build a new road for Radiator Springs. Now, the first time he does a terrible job, right, kids? The roads are uneven, there's holes in the middle of the road, it's very bumpy, nobody could ride on it. And then the second time he makes a road, he fixes the road. It's very smooth and black, and there's new paint on it. It's a very beautiful piece of road. And everybody in Radiator Springs says, Hooray, Lightning McQueen made us a new road. And that little lowrider car gets low, and he goes, Ooh, the gravel feels good. It's fresh. And everybody's happy. That is what taxes are supposed to be for. Today, we have an interesting word of taxes. Now, you kids may think to yourselves, what are taxes? Well, they're supposed to be for building roads, new roads, fresh roads. Your parents and grandparents, they work very hard for their money, and everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Sam, goes inside their paycheck, and he takes just a little bit out. That playground down in Yorktown, it's a very nice playground. It's a very beautiful playground. When I was a kid, my playgrounds were made out of wood. There were splinters that stuck out. There were nails that stuck in. It was kind of dangerous. Kind of had to move around. And the slides were kind of shaky. These slides are safe. But what if we could have another playground? What if we could have a bigger playground with bigger slides? What if Yorktown could have a swimming pool with a lifeguard and a water slide? And as soon as you came down, it launched you into the air, and you can go inside the pool. That is what our taxes are supposed to go for. Now you look around Yorktown, and you say, Hey, these roads are kind of uneven. Look at that hole right there. It's gray. It's not black. Hey, this playground, it's a cool playground, but it's, you know, I kind of want a new playground. Hey, how come the city of Cuero has a pool, but we don't have a pool? Where's that at? These are what taxes are supposed to be for. And your parents sit around and say, if my tax money is not going to a playground, or to the roads, or to the pool, why should I pay them? What's happening? My favorite uncle, Uncle Sam, is taking from me. And he's not doing anything with them. So it is today as it is back in the Bible. When the Romans were in control and the Israelites were under Roman rule, they had to pay taxes. They didn't like it. So they went to Jesus, who knows everything, and they tried to trick him. But here was the trick. If Jesus said, don't pay your taxes, then they can say, ha ha, we got you, because you're supposed to pay your taxes. As Roman citizens and as people under the Roman rule, we have to support our government. And they would get him if Jesus said, don't pay your taxes. And then if Jesus said, you need to pay your taxes, they would say, ha-ha, you're a traitor. You don't like us. You're here to destroy us. How dare you oppress us? So Jesus didn't either. He said, bring me a coin. And someone brought Jesus a coin, gave it to him, and Jesus took it, and he looked at it, and he said, whose face is that on the coin? And they said, well, that's the emperor's. And Jesus goes on to say, then you give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and you give to my father what belongs to my father. Kids, all throughout history, people have been very tight and very concerned about where their money goes. And yet Jesus is here giving a clear example of what you should do. Here on earth, pay your taxes. Here on earth, don't forget about my Father in heaven. Give to the church. What is the church? Give to the government what belongs to the government. In this way, you will be blessed. Because when you think of my Father and you bless him with blessings that he gave you, my Father will remember you. Not only will he remember you, but he will give you more blessings in the future at his time, not on your time, but on his time. The greatest blessing God ever gave us was Jesus Christ. He gave us Jesus Christ so that we could return to paradise with him. And that's the big important thing that I want you to remember. God gave his son Jesus Christ so we could all return back to heaven and to a new earth with God. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. You all have a good week at school. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. God bless you. Pastor Tim.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A court jester displeased the king, and the king ordered his execution. But the king said, "But since you have made me laugh over the years with your antics and with your jokes, I am going to let you choose which way that you choose to die." And the jester said, "Oh, gracious king, if it's all the same to you, the method of death that I choose is old age." Jesus, too, is presented with an impossible question here in our gospel lesson. This story once again takes place in what we know of as Holy Week. It continues the series of stories that we and parables that we have heard these last few weeks. Jesus had already entered into Jerusalem with the people waving their palm branches and putting their cloaks out on the road for him and celebrating him as a king as he entered Jerusalem. He has already overturned the money changers' tables. And then each day he comes back into the city and he sits in the temple courtyard and he visits with people. He heals people. He's teaching them. And he is also being challenged by the religious leaders. And so it's all coming to a head because in just a few short days, Jesus would be arrested. He would be tried. He would be condemned. He would be tortured. And he would be hung on the cross to die. And then on the third day, he would rise again. And so this story is put into that context. And Jerusalem at this time is in the midst of celebration. It's the Passover time. And so the city swells to 2, 3, maybe even 4 times its normal size. So there's lots of people around watching this exchange, which is happening between Jesus and the religious leaders. So once again, they try to entrap him. They entrap him with a question that seems to have no good answer. They ask him, "Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" It's kind of like asking the question, "Have you stopped beating your wife yet?" Either way implies guilt. If Jesus would have said, "No, it is not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar," then they would simply just report him to the authorities. Jesus would be arrested. No more problem with Jesus for the Pharisees. Or if he would have said, "Yes, it is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar," then all those people gathered around him would be angry at him. He would be discredited and be looked at as a traitor because the people did not believe that there should be a pagan foreign government ruling them in God's promised land. And so if he would have said yes, Jesus too would have been done with. No more problem with Jesus for the Pharisees. But in the fashion of Jesus, Jesus didn't answer directly. Jesus always gets to the point of what is important. So he asked for a coin that pays that tax to Rome. And he asked them, "Whose picture is on this coin?" Now, a little bit about the coin. The coin was a denarius. It had the picture of Emperor Tiberius Caesar And also, it had the inscription, God and King. And so, to the Jews, this was a graven image. This was idolatry, to have that image on the coin. As a matter of fact, that coin was not even allowed inside the temple. That was the reason for the money changers outside the temple. So that as you paid your temple tax, or as you paid your offerings or your sacrifices, you bought your sacrifices, you couldn't use that Roman coin. You had to use a special coin you used just for the temple. And that's why the money changers were out there. So Jesus asked for this coin and says, whose image is this? And they answered, Caesar. And Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, render unto God what is God's. And that satisfied everybody. The Roman authorities wouldn't come down on him. The people weren't angry with him. It satisfied everybody but the Pharisees, because they continued to plot. But it doesn't really answer that question. It doesn't answer the question of what does belong to Caesar? What does belong to God? And even that same scenario wouldn't work today for us. I mean, if you take out a piece of money, either a coin or some folding money, and you look at that, what's it have on there? It has a picture of maybe one of our past presidents, or an important figure in our nation, or an important place in our nation. But then, either on that front side or on the back, it has on there, trust, in God we trust. So that really doesn't play out for us either. It doesn't answer the question for us. What do we render to Caesar? What do we render to God? And it brings up even a broader question then. What do we owe other people? Or how much time do we owe our family? Or how much effort do I owe my job? What do I owe to my community, or to my state, or to my nation? What do I owe for myself, for my own health? All these questions arise out of this. This particular passage was used in a number of different ways to bring about a point that you wanted to bring about in a lot of different political type arguments. In Nazi Germany, the Christians who opposed Hitler used this passage to say, he is a monster. We don't need to render to him anything because he's going against God. And at the same time, those Christians in Germany during that same time period used it to support the anti-Jewish laws that were being put into effect. Here in the United States during the Vietnam War, it was used by the anti-war protest. It was also used by those who supported the war in saying that this is a just war. It raises a lot of questions sometimes, and it makes us think, and if we are able to have good discussions or even good arguments about what belongs to God, what belongs to the good of the people here on this earth. What belongs, what do we need to give to government here on this earth? Because government does serve a good purpose. That's the purpose of government, is so that we do not have a chaotic society, that we have an ordered society, that the citizens of a country are taken care of, that they have the health and the food or the basic needs that they need. Nicholas talked about the infrastructure. We need infrastructure, good infrastructure, so that commerce keeps moving within the country. We need just laws, fair laws within our country as well then too. And that's the purpose of government. That's why we have government. And to run government, yes, we do need to pay taxes. But what belongs to God? And then also, too, here in the United States, we have the Constitution, and it says, or it speaks about the separation of church and state. So what belongs to the church? What belongs to the state? And people holler out, keep the church out of politics, keep the church out of government, keep the government out of our churches. But that too even raises questions. Then is it appropriate to have a national flag in our sanctuary? Is it appropriate to demand prayer, public prayer in schools? Is it appropriate to open Congress with prayers? Is it appropriate for the government to say we must wear these masks in our worship or do any of the other things in worship as maybe rules from OSHA or building codes? Can they put those determinations on us too? So it raises a lot of questions then, or there's a lot of things we need to answer, think about thoughtfully, and to pray about as well then too. Where does this leave this? Where does this leave us? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's. I don't know that I have all the answers, but one thing I can say is it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of priorities. What is the most important? And if you stop and think about it, government's job is to enact laws. But there is no law that government can enact that God has to abide by. God also has enacted laws. He has enacted His grace. And that is for everybody, no matter what nation you live in. God has precedent. God is in control. Ultimately, everything belongs to God. Give to God what is God's. If we and use the things of this earth for the people here so that everybody has a good life or has the opportunity, I should say, for a good life. If we render unto God what is God's, then the rest will follow. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Wide Open Are Your Hands." Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the world, the church, and one another. Gracious God, imprint the blessed image of your dear Son upon the church. Conform its worship, teaching, fellowship, and outreach to his likeness. By faithful proclamation of your word and through right administration of your sacraments, use your church to lead many people from vain idols to life-giving trust in you, the one true God. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our fellow Christians who suffer persecution because they refuse to render to anyone or anything that true worship and love that is due to you alone. By their faithful witness, lead their enemies to repentance and amendment of life. Lord, in your mercy. Help this congregation to render to you all honor, glory, worship, and praise. Help us to render to one another the kindness, forgiveness, and compassion which is their due. And help us to render to our neighbors the love, respect, and justice which you command. Lord, in your mercy. Until your peace reigns undisturbed throughout the world, direct the thoughts, words, and actions of our military personnel, police, first responders, and all who risk their lives to bring safety and justice to others. Prosper all they do that serves your will. Bring healing to the wounded, hope to their families, and honor to all who have honorably served. Lord, in your mercy. As you anointed Cyrus to accomplish your will for Israel when it was captive, we ask that you anoint the leaders of this and every nation upon earth. Equip them to do whatever accomplishes your will for all who are captives to injustice, poverty, or violence. As many of us are preparing to vote in an important national election, teach us to put our trust in you, to seek your will for the nation, and to live honorably, peaceably, and kindly with one another. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of all who are afflicted by pain, sorrow, turmoil, or any other assault of the evil one. Come to their aid. Heal all that is wounded, and restore in them to wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Especially we lift before you the needs of Algerine Vassbinder, Joyce Lampert, Laverne Weishwell, David Stern, Robbie Bolt, Pam Hafling, and Bishop Emeritus Paul Spring. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, we entrust into your never-failing care our beloved dead. Continue in us the work begun at our baptism, which fashions us into the blessed likeness of your dear Son. Grant us faith, through your Holy Spirit, to commend ourselves, one another, and our whole lives to Christ our Lord. Bring us into that eternal kingdom where we shall see him face to face and shall behold his image, perfectly restored in the faces of everyone whom you have redeemed by his blood. Lord, in your mercy. For Jesus' sake, grant the fulfillment of all we ask that conforms to your holy will. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that we continue to share in the divine life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, for all is ready. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please rise. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do. To share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is The Church of Christ in Every Age. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. honor all people, love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and serve the Lord.